Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I've seen the stories of Americans, schools and churches and communities across the country who stood up for them and rallied behind them and pushed us to give them a better path and freedom from fear, because we are a better nation than one that expels innocent young kids.
President Obama, in the dramatic announcement that he made in the Rose Garden after our show ended on Friday, we were anticipating something like that Friday morning, and then it came, and the world is changing for hundreds of thousands of people here out of status under 30 years old. As we turn now to President Obama's new immigration policy for young people, specifically those brought here illegally by their parents, we'll go over what some of the criteria are again. We have three guests lined up, and two of them are immigration lawyers, to answer your questions about whether and how you should apply or someone you know should apply for these work permits that will be offered under the plan. So the phones are open right now for anyone in that position. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you yourself might take advantage of this new policy, or if you know someone who might and have a question on their behalf, you can start calling right now with your questions about whether to come out of the shadows and apply to the government for the right to work legally, or with questions about how to do it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Of course, if you're at all shy about this, you can call anonymously or under an assumed name. You can always do that anyway on the show. That's up to you. But the phones are open for your questions about the new immigration policy and what to actually do or how it might actually affect you or your family's life. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. My guests for this are Don Leister, D.C. Director for the National Immigration Law Center, and Alan Wernick, Professor of Law at Baruch College and Director of CUNY Citizenship Now. Thanks very much for coming on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Brian.
Don Leister, do you know how quickly people will be able to apply, first of all? Should they be doing anything today?
They shouldn't be applying today. It's too soon. The government has said to give them 60 days to get a process started. If folks do apply today, they'll be denied. So we're strongly encouraging folks to wait the 60 days until the process is in place. What they can do starting today is they can call USCIS's hotline, and I have that number, which is 1-800-375-5283 for information about the process moving forward. And I also encourage folks to look at our website, www.nancylc.org, or www.unitedwedream.org for the very latest information.
So, Alan, who should apply and who shouldn't apply?
Well, the only people who might need the minimum qualifications who shouldn't apply, at least without speaking to an immigration law expert, are people with who have a criminal record, because there is some danger that those individuals could end up in removal proceedings. But other than that, I would really encourage anyone who came to the United States under the age of 16, who has resided here for 5 years as of June 15th, who is in school or has graduated high school or has a GED, and of course people can still get a GED, who is not above the age of 30 as of the 15th of June. You have to be at least 15 years old to apply. So I think people should apply. I mean, let me just say that there's some sense out there among some people that, you know, there's some danger involved, there's some concern. Hello?
Yeah. Alan, we'll try to get you on a better line. And listeners, while your calls are coming in, and again, we only want calls for now from people to whom this applies directly. If you are one of those folks brought here by your parents when you were 15 or under and you're under 30 now and you're thinking, gosh, I might actually be able to get a legal work permit out of this, but you have questions about it, you call us up. Anybody who knows people in that position, call us we are providing specific advice through our guests who are on the line. And while your calls are coming in to 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, I'm very happy to have with us for a few minutes Jose Antonio Vargas, the journalist who came out as an undocumented immigrant in a widely read New York Times Magazine article last year. He has a cover story in Time right now under the headline, "We Are Americans," asterisk, and the asterisk, you follow it, and it says, "Just not legally." So we are Americans, just not legally. Jose, thanks for coming on. And I gather you are 31 years old, so you're just too old by a hair to qualify.
By 4 months, Brian. You know, I got to tell you, on Friday, you know, when the details of this were coming out, like, I just felt, oh, wow, this is the first day that I actually felt old. feeling like I
congratulations.
Got
over the hill at 31. Remind us, why did you go public in such a high-profile way with your undocumented status?
I was inspired, frankly, by the student activists, particularly by Gabby Pacheco and the poor dreamers that walked from Miami to Washington, D.C., you know, in 2010. I remember being, and at the time, I had just left the Washington Post and moved to New York to work for Arianna Huffington at the Huffington Post. And I was, you know, sitting in kind of my cubicle area at the Huffington Post and watching YouTube videos of these four young people walking. And I felt like a coward. You know, I was just in their shoes just a few years ago, right out of college, and not knowing what to do. And I was lucky enough, frankly, that I got to pass, you know. All these years when I check a box that I wasn't supposed to check to get a job, I luckily, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Washington Post, and I felt like accountable to them, and I felt accountable to all these kind of Dream Act eligible activists that were doing what they were doing. So that's why I came out. And if you were to tell me that, you know, last year the headline of the New York Times essay for me was outlaw. That was the headline, right? Mm. Less than a year later, here we are at Time Magazine, and the headline is "We Are Americans." That, I mean, there is a new normal when it comes to how we talk about immigration in this country, and the politicians and the media needs to really catch up.
It is amazing what happened on Friday, and for people who are not living this life themselves or don't know families in this position, it's really hard to overstate how emotional it is.
Oh, yeah.
For so many millions of people in this country. As you say, a new normal after Friday. But I'm curious about you. After you came out so publicly as undocumented, did the government begin deportation proceedings against you?
You know, that's actually what prompted, you know, when I met with Rick Stengel, the editor of Time Magazine, you know, in March, I said, you know, look, it's been months since I've come out. I've traveled around the country. At that point, I've been in like 15 different states, you know, talking to people about immigration, and no one, not a single person, no one from ICE, no one from DHS, no one has contacted me. Meanwhile, in fiscal year 2011, you know, nearly 400,000 people have got deported. So I wanted to really figure out, you know, as a journalist and as somebody who's undocumented, why am I the exception, and why am I not getting deported, and why all these other Dream Act activists aren't getting deported?
Was it selective prosecution because you're kind of a big shot?
Well, I don't know if it's a big shot, but I mean, there's also more undocumented kind of Dream Act activists that weren't getting deported. I mean, to me, it speaks to just, you know, look, DHS and ICE are two bureaucracies in the government. I'm sure there are like a lot of good people that work there, good meaning people, but it's also a broken system, and it also seems to me rather a random system. You know, they've deported people and divided families apart through secure communities. And frankly, you know, I mean, the president should be commended for the bold and courageous decision that he did on Friday, but you know, history is going to have to decide how all the deportations, what, more than 1 million people in 3 years, how that's going to be able to be justified.
And how do you write for major news organizations like Time and the New York Times if you can't work here legally?
Well, you know, that's the thing. People like me can actually work as independent contractors. We're not allowed to be employed. So, for example, when I came out at the New York Times, you know, for my essay last year, I left the Huffington Post. I left the Washington Post. I was not about to put Arianna Huffington or Don Graham, two people that I greatly admire. You know, can you imagine if I had come out while I was employed by them? It would have been, that's not fair to them. Yeah. And I lied to them and I apologized. So people like me are actually allowed to be independent contractors. That's how carpenters, construction workers, and journalists, I don't know how many other undocumented journalists are out there, but that's how I'm able to get paid.
What do you say?
And pay taxes, by the way. I should point that out.
Just,
and pay taxes.
Just in case anybody
yes.
wants to see you in another light. To the opponents of this policy, and we'll remind folks that it allows application for a 2-year work permit for anyone brought here illegally by their parents at age 15 or under, if they are currently under 30, have been here at least 5 years continuously, have completed high school, and have no criminal record. Critics say this is an amnesty that just encourages more people to sneak in with their kids in the future, anticipating future amnesties, meaning even greater loss of control of the borders. Why not see it that way?
You know, I mean, because that's the old and tired argument that we've been using for a decade now that in some ways has muddled the entire conversation. You know, a very small but loud minority has hijacked this debate. And I think it's really interesting, by the way, that when Mitt Romney was asked at Face the Nation yesterday about this, he didn't say that he would overturn the order, right? I mean, he didn't say that he would overturn it. And to me, what's been fascinating is watching the Republican Party since Friday trying to figure out how they're going to respond to this. Do you really want to keep alienating not only the largest minority group in this country, but a multi-ethnic America? You know, diversity is destiny in American politics. And the Republican Party knows that. And they know that we're all looking at the same polling numbers and we're looking at the same demographic maps. And if I were Romney and if I were Rubio and if I were any Republican that wants to have higher aspirations in national office and also local office, they really need to figure this out.
Let me play that Romney clip, which we had ready to go anyway. Now you brought it up from Face the Nation yesterday. He certainly is in a very awkward position because the young people covered by this are a very sympathetic group. And it turns out that Romney actually does not quite oppose the president's policy in this exchange with Bob Schieffer on CBS Face the Nation.
What I would do is I'd make sure that by coming into office, I would work with Congress to put in place a long-term solution for the children of those that have come here illegally. And I've said, for instance, that those who serve in the military, I would give a permanent residence
sure.
to.
Sure. But would you repeal this?
Well, it would be overtaken by events, if you will, by virtue of my putting in place a long-term solution with legislation which creates law that relates to these individuals such that they know what their setting is going to be, not just for the term of a president, but on a permanent basis.
So, as you say, he declined to say that he would repeal this. A president did it. A president could undo it. There is some risk, Jose, in coming forward if you're undocumented, because you could register with the government and then Romney could be elected. And then, you know, the politics of next year could rise up and say, OK, this no longer applies. And suddenly you're on the government's radar screen and they could start deportation proceedings.
There is definitely a risk in coming out, but I bet more and more and more people will be coming out. And about being undocumented, and not only that, the American citizens who support people like me, educators, pastors, neighbors, American citizens who, and you know, I've been using this term of kind of the 21st century underground railroad, more and more people like that will be coming out. And what I find interesting about Governor Romney's comment is, what Congress, the same Congress that didn't pass the DREAM Act, the same Republican legislators that basically said no to the DREAM Act versions in, like, what, the past three versions of that bill? I mean, this is why, I mean, as journalists, we really need to make sure that we're holding the Republicans' feet to the fire on this. When they say that they want to work with Congress, which Congress? And how do they justify their votes from the past decade?
But this is just pure power. Rather than argue on the basis of right and wrong, you're saying, well, demographics are destiny. There are more and more Latinos, voting group. That doesn't answer the question of whether the country has the legitimate right or the ability to control its own borders and decide how many people, especially in a time of high unemployment, are too many to allow in to work.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because now this is really elevating the conversation, right? I mean, America is not a zero-sum game. Instead of trying to blame, I mean, this is what I found really fascinating, especially after I spent some time in Alabama and in Georgia, right? People, understandably, are very upset about being unemployed and not finding jobs. And instead of actually looking at Wall Street, and instead of looking at the people that made this happen, instead what's happened is people turn to each other and say, it's your fault that I'm unemployed. When the reality is, undocumented people actually create jobs. And not only that, we do undocumented people create jobs that Americans don't want to do. I mean, after Alabama passed its immigration bill, kind of a copycat of Arizona, and they lost millions of dollars in crops not being picked up, right? And
right.
People like me, by the way, paid $11.2 billion in state and local taxes in 2010.
But you also wrote in your time piece about people who are nurses and other professionals who are working as babysitters and things like that.
Absolutely.
But that also means there's, you know, an army of presumably hundreds of thousands of young professionals now who are suddenly going to be competing with other young professionals in this tight job market.
Well, I understand that, but this is America. Competition and capitalism is, you know, that's a good thing. The fact that we have more taxpayers coming in. Here's what I find interesting about this, by the way. Can you think of another policy, you know, in recent years that not only is the right thing to do, that actually provides now tax revenue? Right? America is not a zero-sum game. It never has been. And I think that's, frankly, I think that's kind of a, you know, it's I think it's an unfair argument.
Jose Antonio Vargas, you can read his cover story in Time Magazine. We are Americans, just not legally. Thank you very much for talking about this with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehren, WNYC. Now, when we come back for a break, we'll go right to your calls that will ask advice of our two immigration lawyers. How can you or people you know most effectively thrive under this new policy? Stay with us.
It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking.
President Obama, in his announcement Friday, responding to the journalist/heckler who interrupted him. Now two immigration lawyers and your questions about what you or someone you know should do now under the president's new policy if they are or you are undocumented and under 30. Back with us are Don Leister, D.C. Director for the National Immigration Law Center, and Alan Wernick, Professor of Law at Baruch College and Director of CUNY Citizenship Now. And let's go right to Sabrina in Queens. Sabrina, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm calling as if I'm a green card holder. My son is in the military 10 years now. He went to Iraq. He fought the war all three times he was there in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he sponsored me. Then I have my other two younger sons there, and I sponsor them. And immigration knew that I was a green card holder when I did my sponsorship. I did everything the legal way, the right channel. I paid everything, did the physical, did the biometrics. And when he went for his interview in June, the beginning of June, he denied him. Not even his work permit, anything. They'd give him nothing. They said he must send back home immediately. And I'm a single parent, and he has no other parent because I don't have parents alive to take care of my kids.
All right, Sabrina, it's a horrible story, considering especially that he's been in the military for so long. Alan Wernick, can you help Sabrina, and would her son be covered under this policy?
Well, so we're not talking about the son in the military, right, because he sponsored her. So we're talking about these other children, and I don't know whether they cover it because I don't know if they meet the criteria that we've described. But let me make this suggestion. We at CUNY, we have free immigration services for all New Yorkers. And if you go to our website, at Citizenship Now website, which is CUNY, that's CUNY.edu/citizenshipnow, you'll find a list of our centers. We have them all over the city. They're staffed by attorneys and paralegals, and everything is free. And what I suggest is that the caller or anyone else who needs this kind of help, make an appointment and go to one of our centers. I should tell you that we're getting a lot of calls about the Dream Act policy from Obama, and as was mentioned before, it's a little premature. We're hoping to hear today and tomorrow more from USCIS about how they're going to implement this policy, and once they give us an address where we can send applications to in CUNY, we're going to be providing services the best we can. We're going to focus first, of course, on our CUNY students, but thereafter we'll do what we can to help the rest of New Yorkers, and we're going to try and partner with a number of organizations like the Mayor's Office for Immigrant Affairs and the New York Immigration Coalition. So there's going to be a lot of services available in New York for the potential Dream Act applicants.
All right. Sabrina, you got an invite there. Go ahead and get in touch with that CUNY Center, and maybe they can help you and your family. Fred in Williston Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fred.
Hi, good morning. And thank you for taking my call. I have a two-part question. I'm a so-called dreamer. I came to America when I was 15 years old. I'm currently 28. My question is, what kind of documentation should I start preparing in order for me to apply for this? And the second part is, what will happen if another president comes in and repeals this rule, I guess you can say? Will that start a deportation, wave?
Don Leister from the National Immigration Law Center. I think a lot of folks have that question.
Sure. On the first part of the question, and a very important one, the answer is financial records, medical records, school records, employment records, and military records, if that applies to you. All those things are very important to compile in order to meet the eligibility requirements of this new status, this new policy. In terms of the possibility of a new president coming in and revoking the order, it's hard to say whether that would happen. But in the meantime, we encourage folks to use this policy and to come forth, as Jose Antonio Vargas said, and to take advantage of it.
Fred, good luck. 212-433. Fred, hang on. Alan, hang on. 212-433-9692. If you have a question about yourself or a loved one under the new policy, and I want to go to our next caller, who's Mary in Englewood. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
My question was actually sort of answered because it was a grandfathered, whether or not it would be grandfathered in. My nephew is here legally. But I guess I just want to offer my support that I know he's felt very much lost because his mom brought him here when he was 6 years old, so he really feels like he doesn't have a country.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to the end of high school, he really felt like didn't have a lot of options open for him.
Thank you very much. Esther in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Mr. Lehrer. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a two-part question as well. My first question is, will an employer be able to sponsor me after I receive my work permit? And my second question is, will I be able to apply for a Social Security number? Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Wernick, can you help Esther?
Sure. As to the first question, the fact that if a person's here unlawfully and they get employment authorization under this program, there's still going to be obstacles to employer sponsorship. And that's because, based on the 1996 law, if she were to leave the United States and apply for her visa, which she probably would have to, she would have a hard time coming back. But we're waiting to hear today or in the next few days whether USCIS is going to grant employment authorization, travel permission to these dreamers. Now, when they offered a similar status to the Chinese during the Tiananmen Square affair, they did give travel permission, and USCIS says they're considering that. If they get travel permission and the person travels and comes back legally and an employer sponsors him and the employer can show the unavailability of a U.S. worker, it's possible that the individual could get permanent residence.
I see. But, Don, you don't have to have a job or a job offer in order to apply for this permit. You could be completely unemployed but still get this work permit if you qualify by dint of your age and so forth, and then start looking for work, correct?
That's correct. And you would be able to get employment offer, Social Security card. And, Brian, I apologize for interrupting before, but I have to say that I slightly disagree with my esteemed colleague, Mile RC, which I would say is one of the best immigration advocate organizations in the country. But despite my feeling about that, while it's true that a Romney president could revoke this order because it is something within the president's power, I double dare him to do it. I don't think there's any chance that this country and the immigrants in it would stand by and let that happen, and I'm not worried about it at all. And I think it's very, very important that as many people as possible apply for this benefit, because once they do, they'll then get employment authorization, they'll get integrated into U.S. society, maybe there'll be 500,000 of them who have employers who will be ready to advocate for them. So I think that there's an undue caution among some of the advocates and some of the dreamers themselves. If it was my sister or my wife or my daughter, my brother, I would say apply as soon as you can.
Madaha in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm wondering in terms of how to advise young adults in our community who are high school graduates. They want to go to college. They need financial aid. They need loans, even a Social Security number, whether any of this is going to assist them with that part of their dilemma.
Who wants it? Don, go ahead.
Student loans will not be available. Social Security card, yes. Because once you get employment authorization, you can get a Social Security card.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just mention that, you know, we have in New York State, the reason I jumped in is because we have in New York State pending in the state legislature a bill that would allow undocumented students under criteria similar to the DREAM Act students to qualify for state-sponsored financial aid. Texas and California already have similar laws, as does New Mexico, but New York has yet to follow suit. And if that were to pass, however, and the governor would sign it, then undocumented immigrants, separate apart from this president's program, would qualify for financial aid.
Don Leister, driver's licenses, food stamps, either of those covered once you have this work permit?
Driver's license depends on the state. Each state has different laws. But for many states, yes, obtaining this status will allow these individuals to get driver's licenses.
And apply for food stamps or other benefits? Don?
You know, I don't know. I'll defer to my colleague on that one.
No, they won't qualify for any public benefits. But I would always remind undocumented immigrants that the one benefit which they can take advantage of is Medicaid in an emergency. So I know that's not really an answer to the question, but I always like to remind people of that. If you're in trouble, if you're in medical trouble, go to the hospital. They have to take care of you.
That's a good thing to remind people of. Edgar in Mount Vernon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Edgar.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Yes. I have a sister who is at the age of 30 right now, and of course has been undocumented for more than 20 years. The little backstory about this is the fact that we've all been undocumented for more than 20 years since we migrated to America in the late 80s. We tried countless times to get the ball rolling and to be documented, but we went through troubles like crooked lawyers that got arrested and threw our cases away. 9/11 occurred and they froze our process again. When we tried again, of course, afterwards, I was only covered under my parents' application, but my sister wasn't because she already had passed the age of dependency. And so I'd like to know that since she is still undocumented of 30 years of age, is there any possible way she can still be eligible for this 2-year work permit program?
Yes, this applies to individuals age 30 and under.
I thought under 30. I thought under 30. So actually, if you turn 30 any time before last Friday, that you would be too old to be eligible. Is that incorrect?
What the documentation says from the government is not be above the age of 30 as of the date last Friday.
Okay. So his sister should wait until these permit applications actually come out and go for it?
Yes.
Well, let me just say that I think the explanation of the instructions is correct, but I don't think that that's what immigration meant, and I bet when they clarify it, to not be above the age of 30, they will mean now you've reached the age of 30. But we don't really know that.
Right.
And I would, you know, there's not a filing fee, so there's no harm really in people applying. I don't think people have to worry about being deported if they're denied. There will probably be a biometric fee of $85. That's for fingerprinting. But I think we'll know in the next couple of weeks a little bit more about it. But my gut feeling is that they will require that the individual be not yet 30 on June 15th.
All right. Edgar, thank you very much. And as we run out of time here in our last minute, Alan, will people have to prove somehow that they were in the country 5 years continuously or that they were brought here younger than age 15? I mean, it's not the kind of thing that undocumented people have documentation of.
Well, that's right. Many of them don't, and they are going to have to prove it, and that's going to be one of the tough parts of the application. Now, if people have been in school, then those school records are going to be pretty definitive in proving that the person was in the United States and that they were here, for 5 years. But for many other people, individuals who came here, let's say, just before they turned 16 didn't go to high school right away, maybe it may be a little bit difficult.
And we have to leave it there because we're out of time. The world certainly has changed as of Friday for many young undocumented immigrants. There, through the questions of some of our callers and the answers of our guests, a good idea of some of the questions that are going to come up over and over again. So we thank Don Leister from the National Immigration Law Center, Alan Wernick from CUNY Citizenship Now. You can see the links to their sites for more information on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.